AV Club made me smile. They dusted off an article about cartoons based on real shows. I'll give you an example here. The Brady Kids. Now, you've probably heard of the Brady Bunch, but if you're not old enough, you may not remember 1972's The Brady Kids. Before I read the article, I'll do it from memory. So it's the Brady Kids. The parents just aren't around, and the kids all live in a treehouse for some reason. Tiger the dog is dead, and they've got a dog named Mop Top. Very strange. The AV Club writes, the Bradys were joined by a magical talking mina bird named Morlin, twin panda cubs named Ping and Pong, who spoke an ostensibly Chinese gibberish, and a dog named Mop Top. The live-action Brady cast did their own voices in the first season, but then others did it in the second season. Oh, I gotta check that out. I thought the Brady kids always did their own voices. Wow, someone else did the voices season two? Must check that out. Most of the action took place in an absurdly large treehouse, with the majority of the episodes involving magic spells cast by Marlin, such as transforming Bobby into his favorite movie star or sending the kids back in time to meet King Arthur. DC Comics historians probably know the series for providing Wonder Woman with her animated debut. Remember Genie? No, not I Dream of Genie, just Genie. And as the AV Club says, studios have next to no concern about maintaining continuity between series and their source material, but so little ties Hanna-Barbera's Genie to the 1960 sitcom I Dream of Genie, to the point that Sidney Sheldon, creator of the original series, doesn't even appear in the credits. Disposing with everyone from I Dream of Genie except the title character, and tweaking her to have red hair and deliver magic by whipping her ponytail instead of blinking, Genie is now in the possession of high school student Corey Anders, voiced by, you are not ready for this, Mark Hamill. Corey Anders is accompanied by Babu, who's a junior genie whose proficiency at magic leaves something to be desired. The series only lasted for 16 episodes. Babu returned to appear in Scooby's Laugh Olympics. I think this article's kind of overlooking. Let's go back here. Mark Hamill's character, Corey Anders, is a high school student. If you were a high school student with access to a hot genie named Genie, yeah, I'll leave that thought there. Remember My Favorite Martians? No, not My Favorite Martian. This is the animated spinoff, which expands the premise from alien visitor Uncle Martin to include his actual nephew, Andromeda, a.k.a. Andy, and, of course, a peak sheepdogish pet named O.K. Or maybe it's Oki. Maybe I've seen this one? I don't remember. As one good teenage character deserves another, Tim, who's Martin's adopted Earth nephew, was also joined by his niece Katie, the whole bunch living under the same roof. My Favorite Martians reportedly repurposed scripts that had been intended for the aborted fourth season of the live-action series, but this thing only lasted 16 episodes. Whoa, this next one, I don't even remember. It's called Emergency Plus 4. In an effort to emulate Hanna-Barbera's success with teaming teenagers with animals, Universal greenlit an animated spinoff of Emergency. That was a show about firefighters and paramedics. It was cool when we were kids. We definitely liked Emergency, which was in syndication under the title Emergency 1. But this is Emergency Plus 4, which I do not remember. Randolph Mantooth and Kevin Tai, those are real names of actors. They provided the voices of their primetime characters, John Gage and Roy DeSoto. But this time they were joined by four teenagers, Carol, Matt, Jason, and Randy, whose life-saving training was apparently enough to entrust them with an ambulance. In addition, the teens had a trio of helper animals. Of course they did. Flash the dog, Bananas the monkey, and Charlemagne the mina bird. What is with the mina birds? Why is there a mina bird? Bananas the monkey? I want a monkey named Bananas. If I ever get a monkey, I'm naming him Bananas. Although fire departments around the country requested prints of the episodes to show children during school presentations, and that the series regularly offered first aid instructions, some parents criticized it for placing its young characters in life-threatening situations. Emergency Plus 4 lasted for 23 episodes before the last new episode aired in November 1974, but it aired in reruns through 1976. I'm pretty hip to obscure things. I've never even heard of this. I'm having fun with this. This next one I remember. Partridge Family 2200 AD. Yeah, there was a while where no matter what show existed, they would add in space, which reminds me, I want to do Community in Space. I don't know what it would be, but I know it would be amazing. Somebody call Dan Harmon. Hanna-Barbera's decision to do a second animated series about a family in the future began as a planned spinoff of The Jetsons, with Elroy as a teenager and Judy working as a reporter. Right, but why would you do that? Instead, the company opted to send the Partridges nearly 250 years into the future, with Jetsons-esque technology, a robot dog named Orbit, and friends from other planets. Danny Bonaducci, Suzanne Cruff, and Brian Forster reprised their roles. Susan Day only did a few episodes, and Shirley Jones, David Cassidy, and Dave Madden did not participate at all. Unfortunately, this is not out on DVD, but two episodes can be found on its bonus material on The Partridge Family, the complete first season. It's exactly what you would think it is. It's The Partridge Family, except they're in space. Ah, yes, The New Adventures of Gilligan, not too bad, and Gilligan's Planet. Filmation teamed with ABC to continue the adventures of Gilligan, the Skipper, the Howells, Ginger, the Professor, and Marianne. Dawn Wells was unavailable to reprise the role of Marianne, and Tina Louise barely acknowledged that she'd ever been Ginger, but the rest of the cast provided the voices of their characters. What was Dawn Wells possibly doing that she didn't want to voice Marianne? That sounds like budget stuff. And of course, they had to add something. Snubby the Monkey. The New Adventures of Gilligan tended to be similar to Gilligan's old adventures. This lasted 24 episodes. Then you'll remember the live-action three TV movies, including the one with the Globetrotters. I'll do that a different day. But then the producers took a cue from Robin Crusoe on Mars and sent the castaways on a rocket ride to another planet. Yes, it's Gilligan's Planet. Gilligan's Planet is exactly what you would think it is. For some reason, all these people go, hey, let's get together and get on a rocket. What could possibly go wrong? And they wind up trapped on another planet. Hilarity ensues. One of my favorites, the Fonz and the Happy Days gang. The AV Club nails it. Considering his cool guy demeanor and talent for getting chicks into bed, time out. The Fonz didn't really get chicks into bed. He just kind of like picked up for sport. Like he kind of knew that the chick would be into him, but he never actually did anything. Did he even like kiss women? I don't remember. Also, why is the Fonz hanging around with high school kids at a diner every day? I mean, he's at least 23, 24. What is even going on, Fonz? I've met Henry Winkler. He is awesome. And when I was like 7-year-old me, the Fonz was the coolest guy in the world. But you know, you get older and you're like, why is this guy hanging around a diner? Arthur Fonzarelli would never work as a cartoon, which explains why the creators of the Fonz and the Happy Days gang shifted focus and put him, Richie, and Ralph Malf, all still portrayed by Henry Winkler, Ron Howard, and Donnie Most, in time travel scenarios. For 24 episodes, Fonz and the gang, plus the Fonz's heretofore unmentioned dog, Mr. Cool, traveled through time with a cute girl from the future named Cupcake. Of course her name is Cupcake. Although trying to figure out where the events of the Fonz and the Happy Days gang fall in relation to the original series seems unnecessary, the show's Wikipedia page helpfully notes that the opening narration by Wolfman Jack references the character's efforts to get back to 1957 Milwaukee, placing the temporal abduction sometime in late season 2 or early season 3 of the live action series. That makes me wonder, what happened to Mr. Cool? Something horrible happened, didn't it? Now, if you're of a certain age, what show was on after Happy Days? Of course, it was Laverne and Shirley. So what should we do? Let's make a cartoon of it. This one was Laverne and Shirley in the Army. And if that's not stupid enough, they're in the Army. And they report to a talking pig named Sergeant Squealy. The opening credits find the trio battling a King Kong-like ape and space aliens for good measure. Although Laverne and Shirley in the Army only lasted for a single season, the characters return the following year, this time accompanied by more characters from Gary Marshall in Mork and Mindy, Laverne and Shirley, Fonz Hour. That sounds like a Japanese title. Mork and Mindy, Laverne and Shirley, Fonz Hour. You'd watch. So what happened on Mork and Mindy, Laverne and Shirley, Fonz Hour, 1982? With the Fonz having quietly concluded his time-traveling adventures and Laverne and Shirley's military service maintaining less than impressive ratings, the decision was made to bring all three characters back together by having Fonzie, still accompanied by Mr. Cool, work as a mechanic in the motor pool. So the Fonz was in the Army, but has a dog. To keep his coffers overflowing, Gary Marshall approved a cartoon version of Mork and Mindy as well, adjusting the premise so that Mork and Mindy, still voiced by Robin Williams and Pam Dauber, impressive, were high school students. The Mork and Mindy, Laverne and Shirley Fonz Hour only lasted a season. It might have continued, but in September 1982, Cindy Williams quit the actual Laverne and Shirley, so that threw everything into just chaos. How about the Dukes? It's like the Dukes of Hazzard, but it's a cartoon. Seems like a good idea, but just as the series entered production, John Schneider and Tom Wopat left the Dukes of Hazzard over a royalties dispute. Remember that? And then we got cousins Coy and Vance. The first 13 episodes of the Dukes feature Coy and Vance Duke. I didn't know that. Not that it mattered. A typical episode, the Duke boys take on Boss Hogg, Sheriff Roscoe P. Coltrane, and Roscoe's dog Flash in a car race. This time, the car race is around the world to win the money to save the family farm. Along the way, they send postcards to Uncle Jesse, who related their adventures to his pet raccoon Smokey. Schneider and Wopat are actually in the final seven episodes. I wonder if there are four Dukes racing around the world or what's going on. I got to do my research on that. Luckily, this is on DVD, so if you want to know what to get me for my birthday, please do. And that's your comedy news for today. You can follow the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you like what I do here and you'd like to support the show, why don't you throw $5 on the Buy Me a Coffee page? It's buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. And I'll go buy one of these. This one happens to be a Dunkin' Donuts brand large iced coffee with milk and caramel. And I'll see you tomorrow.